Welcome to the 20% True Podcast, Season 1, Modern Monsters, Episode 12, Family. I'm Carolyn Rahaman. It started with a phone call to Laurel's mom from Mr. Turner, the orchestra director. Well, not exactly. It really started 2 weeks earlier, with the announcement of a combined band-orchestra overnight trip to St. Louis. But Laurel obviously couldn't go, and marked as such on her permission slip without even bothering to show it to her mom. She turned it in and forgot about it. So that was the start, but at the time it felt like a non-event. Laurel lay on one of the stone benches next to the hot cistern, wrapped in a fluffy white towel and doing her homework. She was outlining a chapter in her history book, The Louisiana Purchase. It was the kind of thing where she could copy down all the headings in the book without reading the sections, and get an A like most of her class did. It was the kind of thing where Miss Hesh took off points for excess notes on content or vocabulary or anything other than the headings, really, so Laurel had to make two outlines, one to turn in and one in secret to study later. The steam curled the pages of her book, and water from her hair spotted her outline. Teachers tended to take off points for water spots, but there was no avoiding those, so she had to make up the points somewhere. Thus the perfect outlines. When the jingly ringtone of the family cell phone went off, it took two bursts of auto-tuned wind chime for Laurel's mom to give up on someone else answering it, and burst from the pool, her body coalescing as she rose from the water, caramel skin rising from a splash. And there was her mother, dripping on the tiles and giving Laurel an annoyed look, as she headed for a row of forgotten lockers nestled in a dim nook behind the sauna. That's where they kept the phone and everything else they needed to leave the baths. Clothes, school supplies, Laurel's violin, forged identification. The aunts called it the landline and cackled at their wit, while Laurel and her cousin Mara pretended they weren't related. As if they just happened to be a pair of nymphs that lived in a public bathhouse where a group of adult nymphs just happened to live already. And they all just happened to have the same nose. Her mom spun the combination and answered just before the call went to voicemail. Hello? This is she. Oh, hello, Mr. Turner. Laurel sat up, straining to hear as her mom retreated into the sauna. With one hand, she grabbed a white, fluffy towel from the shelf and swathed herself in it, tucking one corner against her breast. She gathered her dark, wet hair in a fist and squeezed, wringing out the water to splash on the tile floor. As she turned the corner, the whir and drip of the water pumps made it hard to hear. I'm sorry, murmur. Not allowed something-something overnight trips. It's not money that's the issue. Garbled. Something, understand something, very talented. Laurel went back to her outlines. A few minutes later, her mom reappeared, nudging Laurel's legs into bending so she could perch on the edge of the bench. Her hair had formed perfect ringlets over her collarbone, her tan thigh pressed against Laurel's toes. You didn't tell me there was a trip to St. Louis, her mom said. Laurel shrugged. It didn't seem important. I'm obviously not going. That's true, but your teacher's all a-twitter about losing his concertmaster. I guess he'll just be all a-twitter then. Her mom snorted. I'll go talk to him tomorrow. She slapped her knees and pushed to her feet, then bent at the waist to kiss Laurel's forehead with a smack. She called over her shoulder as she left. Don't let him harass you about it. We can find a way for you to go. Laurel looked up to see Mara draping her elbows over the edge of the hot cistern. From the armpits up, she was a girl, and below she was water, as if some trick of diffraction made her body underwater invisible. As if the surface of the water were opaque, but the tips of her dark hair curled and swayed down to where her lower back would be. It's all right, Laurel said. I don't need to go. But you want to. Did she? She hadn't thought about it. Laurel's eyebrows pinched together, her gaze drifting to the vaulted ceiling. Or if not for this orchestra trip, then for some other trip later. You could see the world. You could go to college. There's a college nearby, Laurel said. One, but you're so smart. You could go anywhere. It's unfair that you don't get a choice. And what if you don't get into that one college? It'd be like all your hard work was pointless. Laurel rolled her eyes, which Mara probably took as disbelief at the idea that she wouldn't get accepted to Howell Methodist, the little local college, but was actually exasperation that her cousin could say she could go anywhere in one breath and then say she wouldn't get in the next. It was exasperation that Mara could misunderstand her so completely. College wasn't the goal. It wasn't the end-all and be-all. It was just something she could probably do that she would enjoy. "I've got some ideas," Mara said. "We should try them." It didn't matter, and it couldn't hurt. So she said, "Okay." Mara's first idea was to drink twice as much water as usual. The nymphs wore necklaces with little glass vials filled with water from the sacred pool. Not because the sacred pool was sacred, really. That was just a name whoever made the baths gave to the grotto with the weird rock formation. The vial hung between Laurel's breasts and let her leave the building. Then she had two water bottles that she filled each morning from the frigidarium, and drank from when she started feeling dried out. She'd wet her fingers and rub the water into the backs of her hands when they began to crack, dab it on her eyes when they heated from lack of tears, and massage it into her hair like conditioner. "You need to drink before you're thirsty," Mara instructed, handing Laurel bottle number 4 and filling her own. "Let's do this." "You girls trying to run away?" Aunt Lydia called, one towel around her chest, one spun around her hair. "Is it teen rebellion time already?" "Right on schedule," Aunt Sage said. They clinked their crystal water goblets, sending their floating lime slices bobbing and sending Mara off in a defiant huff. That day Laurel felt less dry than usual, but not overly so. The main difference she felt was a more frequent need to pee and a strain on her shoulders from carrying around so much water. In orchestra, she took a seat at the back of the room with Emily Coe and Brian DeSoto, the other two kids not going on the trip. The orchestra had to practice without them. Mr. Turner kept shooting her pleading looks whenever the violins failed to hold it together without a strong show of leadership. She spent the hour reading The Great Gatsby and drinking water. "I don't think this is a viable option," Laurel said that afternoon from the comfort of the main pool. She'd wanted to dive in as soon as they got home, just like always. But Mara had held her back to see how long they could last, how long the extra drinking had bought them. Laurel lasted a half hour before giving in to the call of the water. She communed with the bubbles on the bottom of the pool for a good 40 minutes. When she surfaced, Mara was still sticking it out, looking pained, dry, and miserable. "I did the math," Laurel said. "For an overnight trip, I'd have to bring 24 liters of water. That's over 6 gallons. I can't just walk onto a bus with 6 gallons of water. It'll raise suspicions." Mara's voice cracked, her pissiness and discomfort making her words sharper. "Maybe you could tell them you have a medical condition. Tell them anything, you'll get away with it." That was true. One of the characteristics of being a nymph was that absolutely everyone found you charming and intriguing and enamoring. They'd crowned Mara prom queen last year even though she was a sophomore. The senior girls weren't even mad about it. Laurel had joined the debate team but found her constant victories unsatisfying and quit. "Get in here," Laurel said. Mara grumbled as she shuffled up to the pool. She slipped in and rose with a sigh, her hair slicked back against her head and neck, her eyes closed and peaceful as the pool washed the stress from her face. Laurel wrapped her arms around her cousin and pulled her down to the bottom. Mr. Turner called again, offering Laurel's mom a chance to be chaperone if her concern lay with boys. The aunts cackled over this when her mom recounted it later, while they lounged mostly naked on the promenade. "Like, we're afraid of boys. Those boys should be afraid of her." They poured themselves another round of mimosas and scouted the current occupants of the pool, noting strong swimmers and rippling muscles and expanses of skin, freckled, pale, or rugged. Mara's next plan involved lotion infused with water from the baths and some ground-up tile from the bottom of the main pool. Mara slathered Laurel's back and arms, her face and chest and feet. It made her stiff, like her skin couldn't breathe. Like the time they tried the mud bath, put in for a month and then removed when it was universally despised. "Think of the arch," Mara said, "the gateway to the west. You'll get to see it and go up to the top, and from there you'll see everything else." The lotion had an odor. It felt sticky, like Mara wasn't rubbing it in enough, and Laurel would leave grease behind on everything she touched. She held still and breathed through her mouth. Then they switched places, and Laurel did the same for Mara, who stood like a soldier, determined in every breath through her teeth. "We're going to make this happen for you, Laurel. You'll see." Laurel's mom swept up to observe their work, pressing a comforting hand to Laurel's shoulder, then pulling it away to rub the goop between her fingers. She made a disgusted face, but covered it as she watched the set of Mara's shoulders. "Okay, girls. I want to let you do your thing, but this looks ill-advised." Mara stiffened under Laurel's hands. "Laurel's brilliant at the violin. She could go pro. She could play for one of those big symphony orchestras, the Boston Pops. Or she could do movie soundtracks. It's a crime if she can't play for anyone outside a high school auditorium or a public bathhouse." Behind her cousin's back, Laurel shook her head and smiled at the combination of ridiculousness and endearing. She tried to rub some of the tension from Mara's shoulders while rubbing in the lotion. "We're just experimenting." Her mom gave them a long look. "We love you." "We love you too." Once you got past the smell and the general oddness, the lotion seemed to work. For a bit. Then it was like all the moisture had been sucked from their skin, leaving them to gulp water and reach for more lotion, which would soothe them for a time before the dryness set in again with a vengeance. By lunch, Laura was already on her second bottle of water and aborted the experiment. She snuck into the girls' locker room by the gym, where someone who took no sports and avoided PE had no right to be. She showered, scrubbing her skin until it turned pink. Mara lasted until after school, but then practically threw herself into the pool. Her hair was frizzed and crackling, and she still wore one sock, which floated to the surface of the pool when she liquefied. Aunt Holly retrieved the sock, rolling her eyes. Mara stayed in the pool until sunset. Her pride hurt more than her hair. That night, Aunt Lydia pulled them both into a hug snuggle, from which there was no escape, and held them as the aunts chatted on the cushions under the skylight. The girls groaned and complained that they weren't little kids and didn't need smooches. But the aunts just gave more smooches until Laurel found herself laughing. She breathed in the chlorine and lavender smell of Aunt Lydia's skin, felt the starlight on her face. She must have dozed off, because she woke later to the aunt still talking, Lydia's fingers running through Mara's hair. Mara was quiet but not asleep, and not listening to the hum of conversation. She was plotting. The next day, Laurel put a spare bottle of water in her orchestra locker, just in case. Next plan was to slowly shift to regular water in their water bottles until they could be independent of the baths. The first day they would dilute their water so it was 90% from the baths, then 80% the next day, and 70% the next. Eventually they could make do with just 10%, then they wouldn't have to carry around nearly as much water. The diluted water tasted weird, and by the third day Laurel felt woozy. "St. Louis has a science center and a symphony and a zoo," Mara reminded her. "You're going to love it." At 50%, even Mara visibly flagged. She was listless and cloudy-eyed. She had a patch of dry skin across her forehead. Her allure had started to slip. She looked almost human. Enough was enough. Laurel grabbed her emergency water bottle from her orchestra locker, gulped down half of it, and went to put an end to this. She found Mara by her locker, loading a couple of textbooks into her bag. "Don't you feel miserable?" Laurel asked. "I feel miserable." Mara threw back her shoulders, straightening in defense. "No, I feel great. Are you sure you don't feel great?" Laurel sighed. "It's just not worth it. I honestly don't care about going on this stupid trip. We don't need to put ourselves through any of this. Let's just forget it." "It's not about the trip," Mara said. "Are you really content to live the rest of your life in the baths? Keep all your stuff in a locker and have strangers come in and out every day. Never see the world. Never travel more than 5 miles away, and be home every night for curfew like a kid. You want to live forever with the aunts and have them know every little thing you get up to?" Laurel gave a helpless shrug. "It's who I am, and I like who I am. None of that bothers me." Mara looked away into the depths of her locker. In a quiet voice, she said, "It bothers me." A flash of clipped photographs taped in the locker, canyons and Gothic architecture, forests and skyscrapers in the ocean. Laurel's lips parted. Mara caught her looking and closed the locker door with a clang. They stood in silence for a moment, not making eye contact. Both their cheeks flushed. It really wasn't about the trip. It wasn't about Laurel at all. It was Mara who wanted to leave. Mara who was unhappy. This wasn't about Laurel. She reached out to rub her cousin's arm. Okay. Okay, let's keep trying. Mara bit her lip. You don't care, though. I don't. I don't care about the trip. I don't care about leaving. Mara ducked her head, looking bitter in a very human way. Laurel squeezed her arm, nudging her a bit so she would raise her eyes. But I care about you, and this is important to you, so let's keep trying. Mara swallowed and nodded. Tonight I'm going to try not to get in the baths. See how long I can last. We can call it a dry run. She cackled and shot Laurel the same smirk the ants used for their own water puns. Laurel smiled. I'll cheer you on. Hope you enjoyed the first season of the 20% True podcast. The show's gonna go on hiatus for a little while, but it'll be back again in a few months with season 2. I'd like to thank Kamiku, who did all the music this season, including what you're listening to right now. I'd like to thank my readers, Jim Marcus, Ariane Mandel, Andy Reno, and the Fictioners, Eric Ramson, Susan Levi, Holly Smithwaite, Danny Hayden, Rachel Reed, Tom Kowitz, and Adam Gates. Thanks to everyone who left reviews and recommended the show to friends. Thanks to everyone who told me they were enjoying it, everyone who gave me encouragement. You can still rate and subscribe on iTunes, that way you'll know when the next season starts up. Or you can follow on Facebook, facebook.com/20percenttrue, where you can now chat about the whole season. Visit the website 20percenttrue.blogspot.com for updates, thoughts on writing, and book reviews, or follow me on Twitter at Carrie and the Hits. I'm Carolyn Rahman, and thank you for listening.